Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The World As We Know It, bringing news that matters to you. I'm your host, Ariel Zalezi. My guest today is James Sims. He joined Pierce College this summer after a 20-year career as a high school football coach and was recently athletic director. He served in the United States Navy, where he served honorably in the Persian Gulf War. Sims holds a master's degree in athletic administration as well as a bachelor's in health, on top of being a disabled veteran. Thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, today we are going to be discussing the country's divide on civil rights issues today that have seemed to make their way back into the spotlight of mass media. My first question, Sims, would you agree that civil rights movement has made its way to a comeback in the 21st century?
Yes, it has, and it's needed, definitely needed.
Why do you think it's needed?
I remember times as a little boy, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, get over it. You know, it's over. It didn't happen. But, you know, when you're a part of it, it still happens constantly. I remember being a little boy playing in football games and walking through crowds and having things thrown at us and being called names. And even today, you know, in modern day, I remember times, you know, people following you around the store, making you feel uncomfortable and, you know, hearing name calling and stuff. So it's not over. It's a movement that unfortunately has to continue until it's corrected. And it may not be corrected before our time.
I relate with that personally. My grandfather actually marched with Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma. And I remember hearing his stories about having things thrown at him when he was on the bus, having a duck, being shot at, having cussed at. That's just to go through all that and to still see it all these decades later. When you fought for your right, he fought for the right for me never to have to see that. And right. The fact that he knows that I'm dealing with it today, that it's just tragic.
Yes, it is.
I'd like to talk about different aspects of the civil rights spark, the first being the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. This coming from communities in outrage over police-involved killings of African Americans all over the nation. What are your thoughts on the protests? Do you think that they're going to be successful?
Protests are good. I mean, it gets a message out there, but, you know, eventually you have to take things into action. You have to start fighting to have laws changed, fighting to have police trained better. So, you know, since the beginning of the civil rights movement, protests have been successful to make things happen, but eventually you have to move things into action. Like, you know, back in the day when they were being beat and water hose sprayed on them and dogs, you know, put on them, eventually they had to start, you know, with economics, stop purchasing things, stop catching the buses. And those are the things that made difference to actually make them correct the problem. You know, the protests was fine, but it was the action that actually made them move to change things.
Yeah. It seems as though the media has kind of pushed the topic to the side for now, considering all the tragedies that have been occurring with shootings and bombings, but do you think the issue should have more light shining on it?
Oh, it definitely does. And I think what has shined light on it is social media. You know, these things have been happening forever. You know, it's like everybody's in shock when they see, you know, police brutality, you know, but it's been happening. But now we have social media to actually see it. So it definitely needs to be addressed. It still needs to be in the light, you know. And it's not just the civil rights movement. It's, you know, all equality. And, you know, I'm against those that have taken action against police officers. My two best friends in this entire world are police officers. So, I'm in the middle of that. You know, I have the civil rights movement and the Black Lives movement and want to support that because they represent me. And then on the other side, I have police officers that are genuine friends of mine. And I know how they are and how they treat people. So we got to come together and realize that there's bad cops. There are black, bad African-Americans, you know. So you have bad on both sides. And we have to realize that and not sugarcoat it to make it seem like all cops are bad or all African-Americans are bad. You know, we know that it exists on both sides and we got to come together and do better.
And you can see parallels between generations, like my generation, seeing Eric Garner and all these people being harassed and hurt by police officers. That's probably how your generation felt when they saw Rodney King. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, there's parallels over generations and generations, and it's just, where does it stop?
And the changes have to be made, you know, from the instance when Rodney King situation, I don't think anything was put in place to change that. And even now, with all these episodes that we've had, you know, I was living in Florida when some, you know, the bad things happened, and the whole thing about the hood and wearing a hoodie and being in the community. It's a shame you can't return to your own home and be wearing a hoodie. So
yeah.
The thing is that there's no changes being made. You know, the police department say that there's better training going on, but, you know, we're still not seeing signs of that. So I just hope that eventually we all get it right, because at the end, you know, we should all be able to get along and live in this country equally and get it right on both sides.
Now, in terms of, like, apprehensions with Rodney King, there wasn't any action taken. The police officers did get off, and that's what, like, sparked mm-hmm. all these riots. And I think that's what people are starting to miss, is that there's a reason why these riots and these protests keep happening, mm-hmm. because nothing's changed. But how do you think the movement can improve its tactics in achieving its ultimate goal?
Well, we have to learn how to separate, to divide and conquer the situations, because a lot of times, like with the Rodney King situation, a lot of the riots that took place, unfortunately, was not for the cause. It wasn't because of what happened to Rodney King. There was some people that took advantage of the situation. Hey, rioting's going on. Let's break in this store and steal some furniture.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, the media takes attention to that and makes it seem like, okay, Black Lives Movement is this group that is aggressive. You know, they're stealing, they're looting and doing all. That was not Black Lives Matter. That was some people taking advantage of the situation. So then therefore, people take them and mix them in with Black Lives Matter. We have to stop that madness. We know that the group that's part of Black Lives Matter is not the same group that was breaking into buildings and looting. You know, two different sets of people. Just like with the police, we have to get a grasp on it,
yeah.
and stop saying that all police are bad, that we're scared of all police. They're not. They're not all bad. But, you know, just recently I had a situation where I was driving in the neighborhood. I had the police pulled me over. And I have had these conversations with my sons many a days. And they pulled me over. And when they got out the car, their first three questions to me was, do I have any warrants? Is there anything in the car that they need to know about? And do I have a record? Would they have asked those same questions to a white female or to a white male? I doubt it. You know, and I have friends that I've asked that. Those are not typical questions that they ask. So that's a training problem with the police. You know, if that's not the standard questions that you ask during a regular traffic stop, then don't make that your questions just because of who you stopped. So once we can start dividing and conquering the difference, you know, what's the bad and what's the good, and not make it a whole, I think we'll start moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but at what point do we have to stop training the other side instead of police? Like, I know I've personally been trained by my family, mm-hmm. like, yes, sir, no, sir, be respectful, don't do anything rash. Like, I got those talks as a kid, too. It's when do we stop having to train people how to react to police instead of training police to act correctly?
You're 100% right. I don't think it's a point where you stop.
Yeah.
I think you have to continuously train both sides, because there's going to be new police officers. There's new children. There's a new generation. So it's something that is consistently going on. And there's a point where we ought to start interacting. There's a lot of communities where the police officers have gotten out in the community and they go out and they meet with the young African-American males, play basketball with them, sit down, have lunch with them to let them know that, hey, I'm human also.
And those aren't publicized as much
exactly.
as the bad experiences.
And things like that will make a change. I think the thing that bothered me most with the Black Lives Matter is when people start saying Blue Lives Matter. Blue represents the color of a uniform, where Black Lives Matter was representing people. And it was like, if you're not okay with Black Lives Matter, but you're okay with Blue Lives Matter, what's the difference? The difference is you're not okay with the color of what lives matter. So I was a little disturbed by that.
With, you know, all the different,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
them
saying Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter.
It's taken away from the important, or like not even the importance, but the power behind it. You're diminishing it by saying, well, oh, this and this, it's taking away from, there's a point of why we're saying this, because these specific people aren't getting the attention they deserve.
Exactly. So I think once we start distinguishing that and getting that situated and working together and stop trying to take sides and fight when we should all come together and try to do what's right. And that's not what's necessarily right for the police or what's necessarily right for African Americans. What's right for the society as whole. And what we're doing right now is not right.
I totally agree. Now I'd like to discuss the Taking a Knee movement. I know I've spoke with you before when I interviewed you for an article I wrote for the Roundup newspaper on the subject. For those of you who aren't familiar with the movement, Colin Kaepernick, the at-the-time quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, kneeled during the national anthem to protest all the police violence and just violence in general against African Americans. It was a protest for the Black Lives Matter movement. And this sparked a whole wave from all levels of professional to collegiate, even high school sports. Do you think kneeling during the national anthem is a proper protest?
Once again, just like I told you, I had police officers that was my friends. I'm an African American, so Black Lives Matter and that whole situation, I was on both sides of the coin. Same thing here. Of course, I understand what Colin Kaepernick was trying to do and that he was trying to make things better for us. On the other hand, I'm a disabled veteran. I'm in the military. I fought under that flag. I fought for the rights of that flag and what they say. But I strongly believe what I fought for was the freedom of choice. So if I fought for the freedom of choice, then people have the choice to take a knee. And the thing that's ironic for me, some of the people that was real mad and upset about people taking knees are the same people that when they're at games, they don't even stand up for the national anthem. When they're at home, when the national anthem comes up, they don't stand up at home. They'll sit down, they'll go get something to eat, but it was because it's on national TV, then you're supposed to act a certain way. And so it's not something that we all do, you know, when we hear the national anthem. So I didn't have a problem with Colin Kaepernick kneeling, even though I am a veteran, because I fought for the right to make that decision, not for the right to have to stand up. So I think when people realize that we're fighting for people's rights to make their own decision, then we shouldn't, you know, bother or attack people that make different decisions than what we make. So I continue, even as a disabled veteran, to support what Colin Kaepernick did, you know, and not necessarily because I believe or not believe in what he was doing, but because he had the right to make that decision. And then, you know, now they're bringing back up the meaning of the song. And what was the purpose of the national anthem? And that the national anthem celebrated the death and massacre of slaves. So when you say you're asking me to stand up and take honor to something that was celebrating the death of my ancestors, then that takes it into a whole nother, you know, frame and a whole nother situation. But they did alter and change the song like anything else in the world. We can change things and make them better. We can say, well, the original song said this, and this is what the original song represented. I agree. The original song was wrong, and I would not have stood in honor of the original song. But the song that I went to war for, the Persian Gulf War, and I fought for, did not include those words regarding slavery. So they're two different songs, and one was corrected. And there's people that will disagree and say a song is a song, whether they change the words or not. And once again, those people have the right to feel that way, just like I have my right to feel that the song is different now than it was then. And because I fought for my country and what it meant to me, I stand proudly during the national anthem. But because of what it meant to me, I remember all those days of out to sea, going to war, seeing people die. And it meant a lot to me, the national anthem did at that time. So I stand for it because of that. But at the same token, if somebody's standing right beside me or right beside me and they're on one knee and they're not standing, when I first saw it, it kind of bothered me as a veteran. I was like, how could you be on your knee? But then when I took the time to realize that I fought for them to have that right, I'm okay with it now.
No, because you, as a football coach this past semester, the fall semester, you had your own players kneeling.
Right beside me.
Right beside you.
And it, when I first seen it, it was kind of tough. Honestly, it was. Because, you know, I'm thinking, hey, I went to war and I fought for you guys to have freedom and you're going to kneel on this. But then when I looked at it and said, wait a minute, I fought for them to have that right to kneel.
Yeah.
And so after the first time, it kind of caught me off guard. But after that, I was fine with it. And I think once we start respecting people's choices and moving on without, especially, don't be hypocritical. Don't be hypocritical and say you don't like the fact that football players are not standing up for the national anthem, and then you're at home eating chips, drinking beer during the national anthem, and you don't even hear it because you're too busy celebrating or moving around the house. If it's going to be something that you're upset about, then you should be upset when you're at home and the national anthem is playing, and anybody in your household that's not standing at honor with their hand on their chest, you should have a problem with everybody that does that, not just the NFL football players.
Exactly. Now, the president called NFL players that participated in the demonstrations, and I can't quote it exactly because we're on the air, but SOBs. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the president's comments?
I'm going to kind of hold back on how I feel about Donald Trump and some of his antics. Believe it or not, he's somebody that I try to pray for. And you have to try to pray for him because he's leading our country. And me being former military, I know that his words, his decisions, his choices can change the outlook of all our lives. It could be a world war caused because of his actions and his words. So I pray that he somehow gets corrected, make the right decisions, and do the right things. Does he sometime open his mouth a little bit too much and say things that he shouldn't say? He does, but we all do. And in no way am I defending him. In no way is he somebody that, he's not my favorite, but he is our president. Everybody's saying, oh, he's not our president. He's not. Yes, he is. Whether we want to admit it or not, he is our president. He's the person that's making decisions that affect all of our lives. And we have to make changes by getting out and voting in these smaller primaries. And it's starting to happen. You're starting to see Democrats coming out and starting to take over in areas where that was predominantly dominated by Republicans. So that's the people speaking up and saying, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to start making changes. And that's what we need to do on everything. We got to step up and vote. My mother, who is still alive, when she was 18 and 19 years old, as a woman, she wasn't even permitted to vote. And to see that now we all have that opportunity and some choose not to vote, it's kind of sad. And normally when I hear somebody talking politics, that's one of the things I ask them, did you vote? And if they didn't vote, I don't believe they have a say-so.
I personally was so excited to register. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to vote. And that's something like my grandmother told me, like, don't take that vote for granted. Like, exactly. It does mean something. The Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that all these decades later, people still feel a need to make these extreme examples like kneeling to get their point across?
Because unfortunately, even though the act happened in 1964, a lot of changes still hadn't been made. If you look back to slavery time, they freed the slaves and said, okay, you're free to go. But yet they kind of kept them enslaved because they didn't have any money. They didn't have food. They didn't have things. So they had to continue to work, even though slavery was so-called over. So same thing here. You keep telling us that things are better, equal rights, but yet they're not equal. We're still struggling with our schools. We don't have, the better books in some of our schools. And that's a challenge. We're still struggling to get jobs. And I understand, people are arguing reverse racism now. You have a white candidate that's very qualified for the position and they lose out on the position because of equal rights. I get it. I understand why they're upset. I was the best candidate. I deserved that job. But I also get it how, unfortunately, we have to continue to do this to give us even playing fields. And you can say, well, they had the opportunity to go to school and get a degree like me and get the... No, they didn't. The opportunities were not the same. And until we can make it an even playing field, unfortunately, civil rights is still necessary.
Now, shifting gears a little, I want to talk about the rise of white supremacy these last few years. Not in numbers necessarily, but the rise into the spotlight of mass media. Why do you think that the white supremacists have decided to start being more vocal and open about their views?
President Trump. He came out making some statements that I don't believe as a president. As a president, there's certain things you have to be political about. He's not representing white America. He's representing America. So the fact that you have to represent the entire country, you can't be out making comments that make people believe that white supremacy was okay. And he was making those kind of moves and making those kind of comments. So people felt you know, just like Black Americans felt that Obama was their president and now that Obama's in office, things are going to be better for us. It wasn't necessarily true, but that's how they felt because they felt they were being represented at the highest level. The same thing is going on with white supremacy. They believed that Donald Trump is their person. That's their president. Now they're being represented at the highest level. So now they feel free to come out and say what they want to do and do what they want to say. So I don't think it's really heightened any more than it's always been. It's just that now, because of President Trump and some comments he made, people are putting it in media more, but it's been there. The Ku Klux Klan hasn't changed. They're still around and they're going to be around. Once again, I just think one of these days, hopefully, we're going to come together and realize that we're better working together than we are apart.
Exactly. The nation was rocked when the white supremacy rally turned into a brutal killing of a protester. Heather Hare, 32, was killed by a Dodge Challenger that was driving into a crowd of people protesting the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia last summer. Why do you think these people commit these senseless acts of violence, no matter the repercussion?
It's unfortunate. It's been the way of our world since the beginning of time. You know, you got to understand, we had in slavery days, you know, they went over to Africa and brought these people back and they hung them and beat them and killed them. And the situation with Rodney King, over time, these type of things have happened. So it was sad that it happened, but not surprised at all. Not surprised that type of thing happened.
What do you think that is making the African-American communities feel like?
I think it feels like that a lot of us feel like we're going backwards. You know, we're trying to make moves forward to have an equal advantage here and be on an equal playing field. And certain things happen that make you feel like you're backtracking, that you're losing ground. You know, just like the election with Donald Trump and some of the things he said, it started making us feel like we were losing ground. You know, Trump has a lot of pictures with a lot of Black famous people that say he has a lot of Black friends. You could have 100 Black friends and still be a bigot or a racist. You know, just like I could have 100 white friends and still feel a certain way about white people. So these pictures are not representative of who he's are. His actions are representative of who he is and what he represents. So like I said, I pray for him. I hope that he finds a way to turn things around and make this country better and make people get along better.
Now, how do you think that the average African-American can stick up for their civil rights?
Actually, just by continuing to follow the law, we don't have to be aggressive every time the police pulls one of us over. You can be respectful, and I get it. They're going to say, well, you know, there were people that were respectful. They did all the right things, and they still ended up dead. I get it, and I understand it. But we definitely don't make it better by being aggressive. So we can start doing things better, and we can just keep asking of them to do things better. And then the old rule, you know, you try to turn your cheek, you try to turn your cheek, and then eventually you have to hit back. So we'll see whether we can turn our cheek or if we're going to have to hit back.
Thanks. Well, it's time for our Hot Topics of the Week. NPR reports yesterday Stephen Hawking, scientist and physicist, died at the age of 76. He lived well past the age he was supposed to live, so we could be thankful for all that he gave us during his lifetime. Over the past 2 weeks, there have been 3 explosions. CNN reports that the authorities are trying to determine if they are connected or not. These all occurred in Austin, Texas, so we'll have to follow up on that one. Trump picks CNBC commentator Larry Kudlow as the top economic advisor. So he's been rotating people in and out of positions his entire administration, so we'll see if this one lasts. Today, students all over the nation walked out of their classes for a walkout protest on gun violence in schools, including Pierce College. So it's cool to see the youth sticking up for their rights and showing that they have a voice. United Airlines is in the hot seat after they forced a family to put their 10-month-old baby in its carrier overhead, and the puppy died in the flight. So they're going to have a big lawsuit over that one. The FBI says it received multiple tips about the alleged Florida school shooter but did not follow proper protocols. Now senior officials are appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Tune in next week, Wednesday at 3. I'll be discussing gun control. You've been listening to The World as We Know It, bringing news that matters to you. This has been Ariel Zalesi for KPC Radio, signing out.